Hello, good day, everyone. Welcome back. It's another episode of Magic the First Pioneers Podcast. This Pioneer Podcast is all about the Pioneer format, and we let our listeners know what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I am one of your hosts, the great Kevin Finkel.
Seems like you almost forgot that opening there. It's
been
so
long.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, I'm back, at least for
yeah, it's been a little bit of a busy month for us. We've been letting them out slower.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been a while. I haven't been here for a while. Everybody,
welcome back, Ryan.
It's Ryan, Cardboard Samurai. I've been busy with work, and I've been busy with class stuff and et cetera, et cetera. So, anyways, other co-host.
What up? It's your boy, Ashiok, and I don't know about y'all, but growing up, my parents always told me that if you're gonna do something, you got to be number one. And I think, you know, I think that's a great segue going into this because, you know, we got to talk about our number one drop, Simmer, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, actually, I broached the subject.
Ooh.
I broached the subject to everybody because the last time we did this.
You just can't let him. You just can't let him have that perfect introduction for a topic. You gotta try and, like, bring it back to the real world here, Ryan.
Yeah.
I didn't see how
that segue was too smooth. We got to just roll right into it, or it's.
You can't roll into one drops, dude. Come on, I got to play my Shockland.
You got to curve them out right away. Yeah.
Man, it's been a while.
Meanwhile, Ryan's over here entering the battlefield, tapped on turn one.
Yeah, we haven't talked about this since episode 61. We're on 193, 194 now.
Oh my god!
So it's been quite a while.
Okay.
So I thought it was time to revisit, because I think Strixhaven had just come out the last time we talked about it.
Oh, Jesus.
So there's a lot of stuff that's changed in one drops since then. And we've always complained about, you know, Kevin especially, has always complained about the...
you know I love to complain.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we jump right into it if you guys want to. Sounds like Ashiok is raring to go.
Oh yeah, I'm chomping at the teeth to talk about some one drops.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't know. Like, I think we should probably start it off by what are we classifying as a one drop? Because are we counting Leyline Binding as a one drop? Because that's my favorite one drop.
Nah.
Are we counting my boy Sleight of Hand? Are we counting are we just talking
mana
about
cost.
Creatures? Like, what are we talking about when we talk about one drops?
Yeah, we're talking about all.
I think for me, it's about playing to the board. So I'm not counting stuff that's like, hey, I'm not counting Thoughtseize here. I'm not counting, you know, Leyline Binding. I'm not counting something that's going to draw you a card. I want something that's going to be board presence and that's going to build into an aggressive, you know, probably an aggressive thing, or, you know, something that's going to build you value throughout the game, essentially.
Okay.
Interesting. So, Ragavan, that's what you want.
It's not in Pioneer.
Yeah, I want Ragavan and Pioneer. You heard it here.
Figured it out. Okay, podcast is over. Thank you guys all for listening. Go for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you want to just jump in and talk about your, I guess, the most popular one drops?
Yeah.
Right now in Pioneer?
Talking about popular one drops in Pioneer, I think that technically, if we're looking at one drops, if we're looking at, like, the meta distribution, the highest rated deck with one drops that are actual factual one drops, according to Kevin, is Amalia combo. So, you know what that means? Our best one drops are C-Note Scout, Haywire Might, Lunar Arc Veteran, and Selfless Savior.
Yeah.
I would say Convoke is a deck.
Convoke is a deck, but Convoke has such a drastic change in meta representation than Amalia. But we do have some of the best one drops probably in both Convoke and Boros Aggro, or Heroic.
Yeah, and Boros Heroic is the other one that I was going to mention.
So, guys, I have my notes in front of me from that past episode we did like two or three years ago. And I want you to... I'm just going to read a list, I think, and then I want you to tell me if these are still good in Pioneer or not. This is the list that we talked about.
This is going to be a sad list. This is going to be like us, you know, mourning over Tarmogoyf for modern players.
Yeah, so our list, we had Fatal Push. Still good or not good?
Oh, okay.
Fatal Push is still good. That's a good one drop.
Okay. How about Chain to the Rocks?
That card's deader than dead.
As someone
that used to play all that card a whole lot, that card's deader than dead.
Okay. We also had Claim the Firstborn.
Oh, guess what? That card's dead too. Rakdos Sacrifice sitting at a 1.6% with only two or three of that in that deck.
We had Thoughtseize.
Oh, Thoughtseize is still good.
Yeah.
Don't know if anyone knows.
Ethereal Armor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a blast in the past.
Very dead.
That's
a dead
one. That was, you know, of course, Auras back in the day. Grafdigger's Cage.
Well, another dead one. Winota, okay. Rest in peace.
Yeah. Oath of Nyssa.
Oh, that's a banger. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, good. No, no.
No, nope, no longer good.
It's in my bard class. There we go.
There are people that still play that Oath of Nyssa card, and like I've seen Mono Green pop up, at least at my local FNM. There's a guy there that loves playing the new ley line into Mono Green. And that's the only time that I've ever seen the Oath of Nyssa card.
Which is up, and I'm guessing also dead because of Sacrifice.
Yeah, Sacrifice has kind of taken a steep dive off a cliff.
Spell Pierce was really popular in sideboards in the past. Is it still good?
I think Spell Pierce, if anything, has gone up. I think this is the first card that we can... I Thoughtseize, I would always claim as like a pillar of the format. I think Spell Pierce is the first card that we've talked about, at least with this old list, that's actually like gone up in value, okay. I would say. I think Spell Pierce has gotten so much better.
How about the elves? All the one-drop men elves.
Yeah, the elves suck. The best... There's a creature combo deck that is the third best deck in the format, and it does not play the elves, so...
Okay.
Wild.
Monastery, Swift Spear, and Soulscar Mage. Might as well put those together. The prowess combo.
Yeah. One of them, very good. Still sees a lot of play in Heroic, because, you know, haste is pretty important. I don't remember the last time a Soulscar Mage was played against me. It's been a while.
That's definitely one of the biggest things I was hoping to talk about this episode, is kind of like, it's really funny to me that one of them has survived and that it's Soulscar, or that it's Swift Spear, because I feel like there were times where we saw red aggressive decks that were playing Soulscar Mage and not playing Monastery Swift Spear even, because, you know, there were definitely decks, I'm trying to think of exactly what, but there were definitely decks that were playing Soulscar Mage and not Swift Spear, and now it's really funny that it's flipped.
Okay. And then last one, Thraben Inspector.
Thraben Inspector has still been fine. It is exactly.
I think it's gotten better. I think we thought it was good back then, but it's gotten even better now because of what do you call it? Boros Convoke.
Yeah, I don't even remember what deck would be playing Thraben Inspector back in old days.
Yeah, it might have been in Humans or something. I can't remember. Yeah. So this is kind of the list we had before. What are we missing? So is there any other stuff that we didn't talk about? You know, that are kind of being played in Pioneer right now? What are the other one drops we should be talking about?
I think we can dissect this by going into like specifically like breaking it up into like creatures, instants, sorceries, and like kind of break it up there. So if we want to open the floor to creatures, I think the continuation of the Thraben cycle, I want to call it. So that being Voldaren Epicure and Seaglass Spiren or Siren, I think it is. I think
these are
both
playable
of these
ones.
Are,
these are the ones that are seeing play.
Yeah. Well, once he's playing Izzet and Sol, the other ones he's playing Boros Convoke. Both of these, like, Gleeful Demolition, which we'll talk about later, Gleeful Demolition type decks, where it's just a one mana dude that does a thing on ETB and makes the relevant token of the set, or, like, has a keyword, or has an additional toughness. Like, like Voldaren Pings, we got the Flying on the Spyglass, and, well, they have relevant tokens to their set. And I think all of these one-drops are, like, actually quite good and quite pushed, because I think a long time ago, if we had Seaglass Spiren and like the original RR Spyglass Spiren or whatever in the original Ixalan, I think that card would have saw a lot more play earlier on in the format.
Okay. I think Favored Hoplite is definitely a card that's gotten better since the last time we did this topic, because Heroic's back.
100%. I also agree with that. I also think a lot of the spirits are like pretty underrated right now. I think spirits is on like an upswing because there's a spirits card that says can't be has protection from vampires, so that card's up on the up and up. So like Mausoleum Wanderer, Spectral Sailor, like the mainstays of that deck.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't think that Spectral Sailor's that good. It's just it's a placeholder until we get a better one drop.
I mean, like, I still think the card's like quite fine. It draws cards, which is like very relevant. You know, we love drawing cards.
Kevin, you got any creature one drops?
It's just not an aggressive card.
So again, we're talking about playable creature one drops. Anything else you want to add to the list?
I think actually going back to my point about one drops, I think one that got printed that is just like, it was really popular in their format, it's died down a little bit, but it still sees some play in Amelia combo, is Haywire Mite. I think it would be very much so a disservice if we didn't talk about this card because of how efficient the one mana exile your your guy or your enchantment is. Because, like, this card used to be, like, the bane of my existence as an Enchantis player against Mono Green. Like, this card would exile itself, and I would be so sad, and I would never be able to, like, do anything.
Other cards.
So can I jump in? You know, I didn't rant yet. You know, I'm not going to rant about my, how I feel about one drops in general, but I do think I want to rant just because, here I was setting up, like, one drops are creatures, one drops are creatures, and then I guess the last time we did this, we were talking about one mana spells and not specifically one drops, so I look like the fool here. But I do want to talk about, yeah, there are definitely a handful, I think, that have been printed since then that we do want to talk about. I'm going to start off with the easiest one being Novice Inspector, that we have the second Thraven Inspector.
Yeah, I was actually going to... I'm not sure if that's something that... Is it seeing play now? Is it, like, actually in a bunch of decks? Or is it just kind of...
Yeah.
It's
right now. Because, like, yeah, so when you originally did the set review for Murders, I brought up Novice Inspector replacing Voldaren Epicure, but if anything, it's being run alongside. So we're seeing the full 12 playable one mana... make a thing creatures in Convoke, which I think is like something I was not ready for, because I think I thought you needed a lot more of this diversity. But I think what I overlooked is just how good Warden is in that deck, and I think that's another good one drop to bring up is Warden of the Inner Sky. I think that's one that has taken the format a little bit by storm. It allows these like token strategies to exist and be really powerful and pushed, and to allow it to attack on different axes.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Absolutely.
One too.
I think it's kind of enabling some of these medium cards to be just like really powerful. It does so much.
So we can actually qualify that as being one of the best white, not white cards, but the one mana creatures one in mana the format. Cards.
I think one that existed before that has also gotten a lot better is Giant Killer, because I don't think Giant Killer ever saw play in the format. That. Yeah, I don't think Giant Killer ever saw play in the format as of, like, old formats. But now that we have a lot more of these, like, one-drop tutory type things of, like, Net Garant of Eos, if you want to count that as a one-drop, technically, we pay one mana for it sometimes. But being able to just find a removal spell and a one-drop off of your Night Errant Eos just allows for this one-drop to just have so much utility. So I think, again, we gotta name our Giant
Killer. I don't know if I would say Giant Killer is seeing a lot of play, but I would definitely say that it's kind of underrated or forgotten often. Another white card that, before I forget, Hopeful Initiate. I don't think that was released when we talked about this topic last time. And that sees, humans.
That was definitely the next one I was going to bring up, yeah.
You know, humans hasn't seen a lot of play, but still a really good card.
Yeah, a lot of the humans are still pretty good. Like, I still think we have, like, Dauntless.
And what do you guys think of Unlucky Witness, or is it just not that good anymore because Sacrifice isn't good?
I think it had its time in the sun, and then the format kind of just started adapting, and then now we're here. So
okay. Any other creatures, or do you guys want to talk about spells?
I definitely still, I think we want to talk about creatures a little bit. I want to talk about, I do want to kind of talk about like stuff that's not seeing play. And I want to talk specifically about like black and red, because even by the time we did our last episode, I think that the decks that were just like 21 drops, there used to be like a 21 drop white deck, a 21 drop black deck, a 21 drop red deck. And all of those have kind of fallen off. And I feel like they've even fallen off harder than when we last talked about it. And I think it's just worth discussing a little bit of how that kind of happened.
Okay. Like why they fell
off. Like I think for me it's, well, I'm going to kind of blame, the...
losing Lurrus?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's part of it, I'd say, certainly. I'd say also, power creep. I think just in general, like cards are getting stronger, but one drops are not. Like, I don't think that any of the one drops printed in the last, 3 years are going to be stronger than the ones printed, the 3 years prior to that kind of thing. So, like, we're definitely not seeing the same level of power creep in one drops that we're seeing with other things. I'd like to bring back, like, hey, if we talk about the strongest one drop in white, it's probably still Kithian.
In the past, you mean?
Just on, like, pure power level, like, it's probably still Kithian. And that card's, like, how old now? Like, 7 years old or something?
I don't know how much I agree with it being Kithian. I think Warden is just, like, so much better. Like,
it's, Warden might get there. Warden might be one of the more recent ones that could really
compete. Yeah. My take on this is, So we had this era of Magic that I came up in, and it's something that I always miss because of the way that I view the game. And it was the War of the Spark to Kaldheim era, where every single set had like 10 busted cards in it. In every single format, we were getting like 3 mana Teferi, Karn, Oko, Once Upon a Time. Like, we just had this string of all these cards that were really, really powerful and pushed. And then after that, so we're talking now, like, Strixhaven era, WotC was like, damn, we made a mistake. You know, we printed way too many powerful cards way too quickly. Let's roll it back. And so these, like, Strixhaven forward sets were a lot weaker because, you know, they didn't want to exactly do what they did before. And they changed the design philosophy. And I think now, as of more recent times, I think if anything, we're seeing a little bit more of a power, or I wouldn't say a power creep. I just think we're starting to see a lot more powerful mid-range threats. Mm-hmm. And I think the spells for the one drop slot are getting a lot better than the creatures in the one drop slot.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little bit more of an important distinction. I also think the 2 mana cards are just starting to become a lot better than the 1 mana cards. Just being able to play these like tap lands and these triomes, I think the mana base also has something to do with it. Also, we could say that mana base has something to do with enabling it too, because we just got the rest of the fast lands.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of interesting factors to think about here, but I do think that we're in an era of power creep, but power creep from Strixhaven era, not from Magic from so long ago.
Yeah.
Because we're not seeing anything that's War of the Spark level or Throne of Eldraine level.
Sure. I do also just want to say, you know, like, decks are going to get more powerful even when they only make small changes, just because more cards are being added. So if a one-drop deck isn't getting, you know, power crept itself, then it's just not going to keep up on that basis either.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, but we...
You know,
we do have the deck that exists that is quite literally the one drop deck, and it was one of the best decks for a while, being Boros Convoke. Like, I think that deck just kind of like shines with one drops. Like, enough of the good one drops eventually got printed towards like a deck could actually be played. However, I think Pioneer as a format is a little bit of a faster format. I think there's a lot of these more like interact on turn 3 or you're dead. So if anything, one mana has a lot more resilience. However, like I said, I think the one mana spells are a lot more impactful for the game to prolong it than the one drops are at ending it, if that makes sense.
So what about what's stopping like mono black and mono red from having a super one drop heavy deck in the format right now?
The two drops are better. It boils down to that. And the one-drop spells are better, right? Like, if we're looking at, like, let's just look at Rakdos Vampires right now, the deck that broke out. It's not playing Knight of the Ebon Legion because it's so much better to either play a tap land to set up your turn two to be less painful, or to interact with Thoughtseize, or to leave up Fatal Push. Those are just much better tempo plays than Knight of Ebon Legion could ever be, which is kind of insane to think about.
I think there's less synergy in black with other cards that would be good. There's stuff that's powerful by itself. Like, for example, Knight of the Ebon Legion can win the game by itself. But, like, you know, when you look at, like, all the cards that are in Boros Convoke, all those cards go together. You know, or I'm trying to think, Heroic, all those cards kind of go together, all those one drops. And, you know, that's why they're so good. And black doesn't have a bunch of, you know, one drops that kind of support each other.
That's my opinion, at least. That's fair. I think the perfect case study for this entire discussion about one drop creatures is that 100% it's Knight of the Ebon Legion. Because I think during Strixhaven time, that was when like Vampires was like a popular deck. But this was like when we're putting into play Champion of Dusk. We're not putting into play Vein Ripper like we are now. So I think, I don't know, I think Magic's just changed a lot, and I think like I said, like turn one Thoughtseize and like it's just so much more important nowadays, or like turn one interaction or turn one cantrip. Because we've also had how many new cantrips be printed into Phoenix to be able to make it like this much better? Like, we have like Sleight of Hand, we have like Consider, like we just have a lot more of this consistency.
Yeah, Consider's really good.
Like,
so you guys want to talk about that real quick? With the, you know, you talked about Consider being like the de facto one drop draw card spell in blue. Whatever happened to the other ones like Opt and?
Can I give one more? I'm gonna count it as a creature. Is Kumano Face?
Yeah, I was gonna talk about it.
We didn't talk about that being that is a new one. That's a good creature.
I think the one that we always also have to look back at my last bit of like cards that have fallen off, or like Stitcher Supplier. like this card was like a mainstay of the format for so long. Ooh. And it like still is inherently powerful. However, graveyard strategies just kind of are lackluster when the best deck is Phoenix, and Phoenix is really good at like playing the graveyard game.
I think
that probably is what's hurting stuff like Bloodsoaked Champion as well.
And then my other card is we got to shout out Deathrite Shaman, still existing in the format and still being so utterly unplayable.
Would you guys consider March of Otherworldly Light a one drop?
If I'm not allowed to consider Treasure Cruise, then...
Okay. All right. Oh, Portable Hole I don't think was on our list last time. I think that's another card we didn't talk about.
That's an artifact. That'd be good.
But I mean, you know, just past Strixhaven. Yeah, Forgotten Realms, right?
I don't remember when that came. It's one of these newer.
It's probably
one-drops.
After Strixhaven.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. It was after, like, much more after, because those were like the mainlands or whatever. But talking about one drops and going into spells, I was trying to set up a trivia night for my friends, and I came across an article that said it was the most played cards that were printed for 2023 new to Pioneer in 2023. The most played cards in the format for Pioneer. First place was Blackleaf Cliffs, but to put more perspective onto it, fifth place was Sleight of Hand from Wilds of Eldraine, which was the later set, or was the later card, right? It was like one of the last sets to be released of that year, and it already pushed up to fifth place. I think it was exactly the second to last set. I think Ixalan was like the last set, if I remember correctly.
But it's in Phoenix, right?
Yeah. Sleight of Hand just like overtook every other one drop printed in 2023 by a mile. Like, it was so much more played. I think the rest of that list, for anyone that was curious, it was like Knight of Errant of Eos, and it was another fast land that I can't remember. I forget which one it was. But anyways, yeah, like these one drops are in like the one drops removal spells. Honestly, if you just look at Phoenix, you kind of just get a vibe of like the one drop spells. All of these cards are just so inherently powerful. That being like Lightning Axe, I think like obviously we tip our hat to Fatal Push Thoughtseize, but I think another one that I think now has like this really good, I think good for the format, hold on it, is Gleeful Demolition. Like that's one of the bigger ones that we've printed since we last talked. Gleeful Demolition just allows for so many new strategies that just never existed before, like in Soul and Convoke. Convoke was not even a thing. And Soul looks so much different from before. And it's just, I think it has a positive play pattern for the deck, or for Pioneer.
Yeah, totally agree. Gleeful Demolition. Ooh, I thought of another one. Would you guys say Monstrous Rage is pretty playable now?
Yeah, I think Monstrous Rage. There's a lot of these heroic cards that have come out with the last little bit. Just to go over them, like Ancestral Anger is like really playable right now, and that's a new card. Lorien's Escape, Homestead Courage, and then obviously Monstrous Rage being like so good. I definitely think like it's the most pushed pump aggressive spell we have, with Lorien's Escape I think being one of the better reactive other than like God's Willing. I think God's Willing is also like kind of fine. There's these two spells that just have like a very interesting opposites, I want to say, within the deck. They both do the very opposite thing, but they're both like the best spells in the deck. A spell that I forgot to mention is like a throwback kind of thing is like Rending Volley. Like Rending Volley used to be like a mainstay in the format, because Winota was like when we're talking about Grafdigger's Cage forever ago, that was Winota
used to be good.
And go for it.
I was going to say, I kind of left off a lot of those sideboard cards that used to be good. Like Red Cap Malice, I think still a good card. It could be a good card, but it's just not meta, not good in the meta right now.
Yeah, like that was another Winota killer. Like you just needed a Winota answer in that old meta, and now you don't as much. But still, I think that we do have to tip our hat to Rending Volley, because that still sees some play in the format, because there is that Spirits player every once in a while. I'm trying to think of other spells that are like... relevant ones.
I can't think of any other playable ones, but I can think of ones that I either used to be good or maybe could be good.
Sure, we can hop back and forth. I'm down to switch to ones that used to be really playable and used to be really, really good.
So like, we talked about Knight of the Avon Legion, used to be good. Chained to the Rocks used to be good. Ethereal Armor used to be good. The Oath of Nissa used to be good. What about Traverse the Uvenwald? That's all some play in Greasefang, right?
Yeah, like okay in Greasefang. Like there was some list playing it. I think we now have like Analyze the Pollen, which I think is a different card in like for Greasefang. Like obviously Greasefang doesn't want to play that card, but like that card shows up in Niv now, and it's like quite good. Like it's kind of wild how many ways that WotC can print Lay of the Land as a rare, but it's starting to work out. You know, some of them are starting to be playable.
Mm-hmm.
I also realized we forgot to talk about a one drop. It's a powerful.
Which one?
Drop. You heard of a Boreal Grazer, the new sloth creature type?
I left it off my list. Ah, I mean, I guess it's in Lotus Field, right? So
it's my boy. And Lotus Field's been the stay of the format ever since I started playing it. Being sad about it. I hate that card.
Yeah, and if you guys haven't heard, it is now a sloth.
It is a sloth, okay.
It did get changed to a sloth, which I think is
nice.
Ah, so good. I love sloths.
Well, if you guys are having trouble thinking of other playable one drops, do you guys want to talk about one drops that you kind of, you know, you like, you think are underrated, maybe you wish were good?
Because
I got a list of cards I would love to see. Like, start off. For example, the whole equipment, you know, package.
Oh,
you know,
Sigarda's Aid.
Yeah, Colossus Hammer, Resolute Strike, all that fun stuff. I would love to see that be good in the format.
Yeah, you inspired me. I remember what I was going to say about Audacity. I think Audacity is a card that has been printed.
Which one's that again?
Which I'm really sad. It's a 1-mana enchantment that gives it +2/+0 on trample, and if it goes into a graveyard from the battlefield, you draw a card. Uh-huh. Like that was from Brothers War, and that card saw play for like a little bit, and then sadly never again. I think won a challenge a little bit ago, but
there's a couple aura cards that I would like to see, you know, do well. Like there's the Toadstool Admirer that came out that has like War 2. I think that was kind of neat. And of course, you know, we got the Glade Cover Scout.
Yeah, that was the would one.
Would love to see that come back.
I think another underrated undrop that I wish was better that is in this same vein is Skrelv. I think Skrelv should, on paper, be a lot better. It's the Mother of Runes wannabe from Phyrexia. The 1-mana 1/1, Toxic 1, can't block, legendary, Phyrexian mana, choose a color, another target creature you could draw against Toxic 1 and Hexproof from the color of that. Sorry, a Hexproof from a color that you choose, and it can't be blocked by creatures that color either. On paper, this card's a lot better. But in Pioneer, it does not see a single amount of play minus this like Auras deck that theoretically pops up every once in a while.
I got some other. I mean, Kevin. I mean, jump in whenever you want, Kevin. We're not trying to take over.
Yeah. No. You can go on. I'm here with you.
I got a couple cards that I wish were good. For example, Shrieking Affliction. I know every time I tried to build Waste Not in the past, like Kevin's like, we play Shrieking Affliction and stuff like that. And it just never really, it never really showed up in my list. I want it to be good, though. The 1-mana enchant. Terramander is another nice one that I would love to see some play.
Ooh. Love Terramander.
1-1 Flyer.
I mean, if you're on that train, Delver.
Delver's. Well, I would love to see that season play. Like, put those together. I mean, I'm just throwing out cards if that's okay.
Yeah, I think another one drop that I don't even think we mentioned because of just how much it's fallen off as of recently. Do you guys remember Play with Fire? This is a new one drop. It's last time that this was talked about, and I think that card should be a lot better than it is.
Which one's that again?
It's the one where it's a shock, but if it targets a player, you scry.
Oh, that one. I thought that does see play a little bit.
Not sadly. It doesn't see play anywhere. There's like mono red aggro that's like kind of okay sometimes, but like it's just not good.
What about Invasive Surgery? You guys are blue players, right?
I love that card. However, Test of Talents was printed and it's a little bit better.
Okay.
Just slightly better. Other one drops. Well, moving back towards like Mono White Humans, because you know I built that deck for my girlfriend like forever ago, and so it's fresh on the brain. Recruitment Officer was a new one drop for that deck.
Yeah.
We also never talked about Dauntless Bodyguard.
I never loved Recruitment Officer.
I loved Recruitment Officer.
It always seemed like it was.
Did you ever see that alt art version? Would that have changed your mind? But Dauntless Bodyguard, I also think, is like a very powerful card.
Yeah, those kind of cards, like those, I see as like role players. Not maybe not the best cards, but they're definitely you know, good in certain decks. I wouldn't say they're underrated. I wouldn't say they're good. I would say, like I said, they're role players. Another card that I always talk about is Hidden Scales. I wish it would come back.
I wish we could get
Hidden Scales again. Yeah.
Okay.
Hasn't seen play since Ballista was gone.
Yeah, Heart of Scales has not been a good deck for a while, and I don't know what it'll take, because we keep getting, like, Ballista, good lords, and it's not good. We keep, yeah, Ballista's, like, the obvious one, but without Ballista being unbent, we're going to bar that as the option. I don't know what it would take, honestly. Other cards that I think also, Springleaf Drum has lost a lot of equity over the years.
Yeah.
That card used to be really good. And it still
seems play in Insole decks when people do play Insole.
Yeah. Insole is like just at like an all-time low right now of like popularity, and I do wish that that card was just, or sorry, that deck was a little bit better, because that deck's really fun. There's also the entire, with Rona now, Retraction Helix, Mox Amber type piles, you know, those ones are always pretty goated.
Hey, if you give us, if you give us my boy back, Kethis.
Kethis, there we go. We figured it out.
So, going back to the equipment thing, I think Fervent Champion is kind of underplayed. I've played that in a couple of the equipment decks that I've been testing. I like it a lot. I think it's underrated. You know, even as just a fast one drop, but you know, being able to equip everything for free is just really good.
Yeah, I think just we're missing that Stoneforge Mystic role in Pioneer, where we just have like this tutorable equipment
card. Yeah.
Because like if Open the Armory was like even on a 0/1. Did, or like a 2/2 and didn't have the abilities or whatever, I think that card would be like so playable. Like a 2-mana 2/2, go find an equipment. I think that might actually like put that deck on the format, or like with the format. But sadly, we don't have our Stoneforge Mystic type card.
You think the equipment's good enough in that case? Like, I mean, I feel like that doesn't sound that much better than Open the Armory. We could be playing Open the Armory, and we're a long way from that deck being good.
Being able to just have a creature that like tutors, right? I don't think the equipment is like that bad theoretically. Like, being able to just do +10/+10 pump and, like, have this creature stick around, I think is still fine. However, I just think that Open the Armory is just, like, it doesn't play towards the board, which you're an aggro deck, which you want to be able to do, which was, like, the entire thing, right? Because, like, you will both have this creature that you want to be able to equip, and you also get the equipment.
Okay.
It's, like, it doesn't matter what its power and toughness is, as long as it survives.
You just want something to be able to, you want it to still be able to hold a hammer, so it's not, it solves the A plus B problem where you're drawing the wrong half of your deck.
Yeah, well, A plus B plus C. This one is both A and B. Okay. So you just need C, which is the equipper.
Okay. So another card that I just suddenly thought of, didn't Warlock Class see some play?
Oh, God, no.
No? Okay.
God, no. I mean, I don't know what that list, but maybe the list you're looking at, it sees a little bit of play. But the list I'm looking at, I see
that. Okay.
I mean, not completely off that note, I do think that Willowgeist is a card that I keep wanting to be good, and I feel like it's not that far. It's the 1/1 that grows whenever a card leaves your graveyard. Mm. It's a 1/1 with trample, and when it dies, you gain life equal to its power.
I lost that standard.
But it's pretty easy for that thing to grow, especially like we've been getting some of these cards that, you know, collect evidence or, you know, they care about descending, like... Some of that stuff theoretically should be powering this card up. I just haven't been able to get it to quite have the build around.
What do you guys think of the rogue cards or like the mill cards? You know, like the Thieves Guild Enforcer and Ruin Crab.
Well, Ruin Crab, I think is its own thing because I don't think it really goes into like the rogues anymore.
No, it doesn't go with rogues. Yeah, you
know, I think that was just sadly a standard archetype. But I love me some Ruin Crab. But I don't know. I think the rogues are like kind of bad right now, and I don't really know what the problem is. I think it's the fact that they can't play No More Lies right now is like the biggest issue. Like their counter magic is just not as efficient or not as good. Like I don't think Make Disappear and No More Lies are like worlds apart. Like it is so much better because you know,
and the blue black counter spell has always been kind of bad,
like,
into
like Drown in the Lock is like
unplayable
against Phoenix. It is not anywhere playable. Like, of course you get access to, like, Shieldred, but, like, you ever heard of a card called Lightning Axe?
Yeah. It's another good one-drop.
Yeah, that one just messes it up. See, the one-drop episode is always very hard for me because I'm a Karuga player at heart, so I just never think about these cards.
Huh. Everything's... It's not three, yeah. Since these are Obosh cards.
Can I talk about a bunch of mono black cards? Because I feel like, like I've been saying, I wish that there was some mono black, you know, just like, I miss when you could just play, you know, Thoughtseize Fatal Push and that was good. Now I feel like you'd run into a lot of issues
with Boomer
like,
Magic.
You know, just the black mid-range decks probably prey on the black aggro decks. But I feel like Stalactite Stalker is a recent one that could theoretically be good. I feel like I keep wanting Ashnod to be playable. I feel like she's close-ish.
Mm-hmm. I love that card.
I think that the new Evolved Sleeper is
that was
a reasonable card that does some powerful things, mm-hmm. but that's just that deck has kind of fallen off, and I kind of feel like all of those, if there was a deck, could kind of go together.
Another one mana black card that I think would be cool to like make a deck around is Scheming Cemetery. Symmetry. Yeah, the one where you both get to look for a card and then put it in your hand. I think that could, you know, be busted in the future.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just think there's so much wrong with that deck right now, sadly. Or is that card? No, and giving your opponent a tutor.
Yeah.
You're talking to the guy with the only the only league trophy with Grim Tutor and Pioneer ever, by the way. Like, I love Tutor and stuff. Don't you worry.
That can't be true. Somebody had to have played it in a stupid Lotus Field list.
I don't think so. I've never seen it. Maybe, at least in the 75. But for a while, okay. I was the only one. I played a full playset, I think, or maybe like three. But I definitely played some amount of that card in a deck called Grixis Fires, where the entire idea was you play Grim Tutor on three to tutor up Grixis Fires for four. And then you just play a Planeswalker for value to get your card advantage back because, you know, you spent a card to find the card that, like, enables your deck or whatever. It was very bad.
Find a card that also isn't a card, yeah.
It was very bad. And it also took three, and the format where, like, Burn was a playable deck. So, I just didn't queue into Burn, very luckily, so. But no, tutoring's bad right now.
Yeah, well, while we're on the topic of talking about cards, we want to be good. Maybe they're not even close to being good right now. I have a couple. Like I said, again, in black, the Snarling Gorehound from the new set, I think definitely has some potential for the future. Hopeless Nightmare, another good one, drop in black.
Ooh, yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, for the discard. I really like that one as well, especially if you're picking it up and playing it again. Really good card. Deathrite Shaman.
Oh,
is another one.
My boy Bomac Courier. My boy Bomac Courier. Yes. I want him back. Give him back.
I was always a Bomac Courier hater. Like I like my one drops, but I was always a hater. I was like, there's always got to be something better in red that we could be playing.
And
there always was.
Bomac Courier.
Do you guys think Stitcher Supplier will ever be good again?
There will be some broken deck. The graveyard strategies will always be broken. It just takes some time.
Mm-hmm. What about the one, I forget what it's called, the one
it's
where
also worth noting that I want to say, you know, Stitcher Supplier can also be playable, not just in a time when it's like, oh, I'm playing a broken graveyard deck. I think that there are times when Stitcher Supplier can shine in a format where removal has become too prevalent. You know, I feel like we've seen that before where it's like, hey, they're going to counter or kill every single thing that you play. Okay, I'm playing Stitcher Supplier. Kill it all you want. I'm winning by putting stuff in my graveyard. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that can be a place where that can come back again. Just kind of wanted to shout that out. Like, I feel like back when Wilderness Reclamation was just killing everything, Blue-Black Control was in the same format, just killing everything, you could play a Dredge deck and just be like, I don't care. Do your worst.
What if you do care? What if you're just a shy guy?
Another card that I just thought of that has a lot of potential. Toolcraft Exemplar always seemed really good to me.
Okay, Connor, man. Okay.
Love that. Love that card.
Oh.
3/2 on turn 2. Yeah.
There's a lot of the goblins that I think are like kind of close to being playable. There could be like one or two more good goblins, and then you kind of you might
Legion Loyalist is a good one that we didn't talk about.
Skirk like Prospector. One.
Yeah. Yeah. Kakok. Was it Cacophony Scamp? I think that's still some play.
Ooh, yeah, that's the hammer card.
The hammer one, yeah.
Yeah.
Frantic
Scapegoat, too, as long as we're talking about red one drops. I feel like that card. I'm going to put that card in a deck, and it's going to be great.
So I noticed this card when I was buying some singles from the new set the other day, but we didn't really talk about Rubble Belt Maverick. It's the one drop, 1/1 that you get to surveil two when it comes into play. And then you can remove a card from your graveyard, I think, or remove it from the graveyard to put a +1/+1 counter on somebody.
I've messed around with it. Like I said, this was in our brew episode. I was playing with this thing, right?
Just the enabler, ability of that, I think, is really good.
I did some Googling, and I'm kind of mad we didn't talk about one card.
Which one's that?
You guys remember?
Oh, which one?
Pithing Needle?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody said Pithing Needle.
Good sideboard card. Yeah. Does that still seem play?
Yeah, now that you can't find it from your sideboard.
Fair enough. We also got, Alpine Moon, because, I hate Lotus Field. I'm just going to keep naming cards that make Lotus Field players upset. And then...
I saw some people playing Case of the Filched Falcon in Insul decks. I know Insul's not really a good deck right now, but I think that could probably go in there as your, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th Insul.
That card to me is Bulmak Courier to Kevin.
I mean, is that...
I haven't played with Filched Falcon myself. Is it better than the... what is it? Moon of the Waterdeep or whatever?
Yeah, that's the Staff of Water. Black Staff of Waterdeep.
The enchantment one that taps. Staff of Water.
Yeah, whatever. That's what I was wondering. Because you can only play two of those, though.
We're saying cards and just making up names for stuff. Yeah.
Yes, I'm making up names of things. That's my new vibe.
One more card that...
Black Staff of Water.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. One more card that I thought always had some...
I mean, I just keep naming cards and Ryan just moves on without even acknowledging
it. No, I talked about it. Black Staff Waterdeep. I said it. Yeah. No, but one more card before I forget. Niv-Magus Elemental.
Ooh!
From, old Ravnica.
Yeah,
always
I like that
seemed
one.
Really cool.
I like that one.
What's a 1/2 and you can remove a spell from the stack or something to get a +1/+1 counter? Is it 2 +1/+1 counters? Always seems
good. So what's gonna happen is once they reprint Storm, once they print a new set with Storm in it, then we'll be able to
Alright, are you guys ready? I'm actually gonna say playable cards. Go. Okay. Are you ready? Stubborn Denial. Love that card.
Yeah.
Wish it was better. Wish it was so much better.
Seen any play?
No. Doesn't see an ounce of play.
Oh darn!
At least in this format, just playing modern. My other favorite, Otherworldly Gaze. That card was good for a bit, then Phoenix got a new blue cantrip every set for the next 2 years. So sadly, not playable anymore. But
is Shadow Spear any good in this format?
It's about as good as Colossus Hammer.
Yeah.
Sadly, I don't think it's that great.
Yeah, that's.
Deafening Silence is something I've seen I've seen a little bit recently.
Sideboard.
Shout out Deafening Silence.
Yeah.
Shout out Treasure Cruise, my favorite one drop.
Anything else? Any other one drops you guys want to talk about?
I think that's it. I think that's exactly. We've named every single one drop that has seen an ounce of play. Oh wait, Curious Obsession.
What about
Curious Snarling Obsession? Gorehound? Then we're done.
Yeah. Curious Obsession. Yes.
I think we officially did.
What about Phoenix
Chick? Nope.
Phoenix
Chick,
I was thinking of that too.
That card's bad. No. Shut up.
I liked it when it was first coming out. With Kumano.
What about Scorch Spinner? There, I said an unplayable red draw.
I don't know what
that
is.
I hope you guys are happy.
Ooh, wait. Yo, what about the one? No, hang on. No, I've got an actual one. Hang on, let me go back to red. What about...
Zergo Battle Smasher.
Yeah, no.
No, okay, what about... what is it called? There's the one where it puts oil on itself. Sawblade Scamp.
Oh,
there we go.
Yeah. Kind of like a pyromancer type deck, right?
Wait a minute. Unlucky Witness.
We said that one. We said that one very early on, and said it was so bad.
The sacrifice.
Yeah, no, we did. We talked about Witches.
Okay. I'm just stalling.
The one card we didn't talk about was Cauldron Familiar. We did talk about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we said it's not good anymore.
Yeah.
So we got all these cards.
Well, Experimental Frenzy, if we talked about.
If you get all these cards now, what's your top 5? This is the last one, just to kind of take us out. What is your top 5? Maybe, again, it doesn't have to be the best cards, but maybe your top 5 favorite one drops in Pioneer. Do you guys have a list? You don't have to. Which ones?
Okay. Thoughtseize is second. I'm not doing this in order because I'm not going to remember my order. Leyline Binding is first. That is my favorite one drop. I don't care. I think Gleeful Demolition is like my favorite one drop that's been printed in the most recent time. I think that enables so many decks, and I think it's really cool for the format. What are my other two ones? Fatal Push. Fatal Push is up there. I think Fatal Push is my fifth, and then my fourth one needs to be a funny haha one. Death Right Shaman. Done.
Okay. Kevin, how about you? You have five that you really like, that you enjoy?
I want to throw Warden into my top five. So, yeah, I want to put Warden into my top five. I want to
the Abzan one, you mean?
Yeah, Warden I can't of the first not street. Do Thoughtseize Fatal Push.
Okay.
Warden of the Skies.
Okay. So that's three, right?
You know, Thoughtseize Fatal Push.
Son of Hand.
No, I don't like Sleight of Hand. I'm going to go Consider, though. I'll throw Consider on there. And I'm going to go Kumano.
Ooh, that's a nice top five. All right, mine's Thoughtseize. I love me.
I feel like that's a nice...
So, yeah, mine's Thoughtseize. Again, not in any order, but Thoughtseize. Portable Hole. I love Portable Hole. I'll definitely go with Gleeful Demolition as well. Like that card. And what else do I like? I think I have to go with Colossus Hammer. I love those types of cards. And one more. How about... you know, I'll go with 3-Minute Spectre. How can you not like 3-Minute Spectre, right? I think that's five. All right, guys. Anything else? Or are you guys ready to head out?
Yeah, I'm ready to pitter-patter and skedadder.
No, yeah, that works.
Well, thank you guys for having me on.
All right, let's give it a call up on an episode. Yeah, of course, Ryan. We're happy to have you anytime and every time. But why don't we go ahead towards our ending here. If you guys enjoyed this kind of chaotic content today as we all talk about different one-drops we were excited about, go ahead and follow us at MTG Pioneer on Twitter. You can also find a link to our Discord there, which is the best way to stay in contact with us, as we're always there chatting about random things Pioneer.
My name, again, is the Japan Hobbyist, if you guys forgot, and you guys can find me on Twitter at, I think it's Yo Japan Hobbyist. I can't remember, it's been so long. But I'm also on the Discord as the Japan Hobbyist. No, I'm the Japan Hobbyist on Twitter as well. All right, and Ashiok?
What up? It's your boy Ashiok in the clothes here. I ain't got a whole lot to say, you know, Dreams of Ashiok on Twitter, playing a face-to-face pretty quick here. It's modern, though, so I'm not playing a whole lot of Pioneer. But Pioneer S7's coming. I expect your boy to be on that content grind, making a whole bunch of more stuff. I don't know. Pioneer's been the same format for years now. I want a nuke. I want to give me the balance for one day. Until then.
Right, Kevin, you want to take us out?
All right, that's going to bring us to the end of the episode here. Thank you guys for listening. We are your go-to source for Pioneer Information Online. You're our first pioneers, and we are dropping out.